2018 might be remembered as the year that big Hollywood movie studios started to listen to audiences and finally opened the door to featuring more non-white casts in mainstream films.
Black Panther became the top-grossing superhero film of all time in North America, and Crazy Rich Asians became the first mainstream U.S. movie in decades to feature a predominantly Asian-American cast.
And the same can be said for the wider diversity of themes represented in Hollywood movies this year. Director Steve McQueen's film Widows and Spike Lee's Black Klansman both earned high praise and were considered successes at the box office.
Joining us now to share some of his favorite movies of 2018 is Reggie Ponder, known as Reggie the Real Critic. He appears weekly on Vocalo in Chicago and critiques movies for several other media outlets. You can follow him on Twitter at Reggie the Real Critic. Reggie, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, hey, I'm really happy to be back. Judith, where you been, Judith?
I know. Well, you know, Rob's usually on. I let him have the week off. So nice to talk to you, and nice
Darryl,
to introduce you to Darryl, because he's a big movie guy, Reggie.
I'm scared now.
Well, Reggie, let's start by digging into some of the 2018 Golden Globe nominees. What stands out to you in the Best Motion Picture Drama category?
What's actually interesting is that the diversity that you see here is that when you look at Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, If Beale Street Can Talk, and A Star Is Born, those are the five in the drama, and that's as diverse as I've ever seen, the Golden Globes. I mean, mm-hmm. Wow, kudos to them.
So you just mentioned Black Panther, and of course it had massive success. What does that mean, that this heavily African-American cast, crew, and themes were so, so successful?
I think it means a number of things, but the first, the social impact of this film is actually not to be understated. What Coogler was able to do here, and taking a popular film but also making it have a social impact and social relevance was absolutely phenomenal. And I think that it raised the level of superhero films in a way that they actually made these expectations that the next one, people were going to be like, okay, can you stay at that level and not just make these movies bang, bang, fight, fight, shoot 'em up kind of films. What it says, I think, for Hollywood, if they pay attention, is that when you have these diverse films with diverse casts and you have a cross-section of people going to these movies, that this is a great way to appeal to different people, but also make money. And so if you want to make money, this is one of those ways in which to do so.
Well, and Reggie, I want to say that obviously a lot of attention, deserved attention, was focused on the fact that it was an African-American cast, but I was really also taken with the women characters in Black Panther. I thought they were amazing.
And they were. One of the things that I loved about this film is that point, Judith, is that the fact that this issue between from a cultural perspective, a fight between African American women and African American men as if they don't get along, here they actually show how powerful women and powerful men can coexist together and lead a nation. So phenomenal in that way. And wow, the women in this one were very pivotal to the entire film.
You know, Reggie, you were talking about the diversity with these films in this particular category, and overall with the success of Black Panther and the success of Crazy Rich Asians. For so long, we've been told that movies with a majority African-American cast or majority Asian cast or a majority Latino cast don't do big in the box office either in the U.S. or even internationally. Does this now put all of that to rest with the success of these movies?
No, not quite. If you remember, there was a renaissance of film when you had Spike Lee, John Singleton,
right,
of the world, and I don't know if you want to call it a renaissance, but there was a boom during that time, and everybody felt during that time that, wow, this is going to be a great moment for diverse films. But one of the things that you don't see is that, yes, you saw African-Americans, yes, you saw Asians, but that was one Asian film. And from a Hispanic, Latino perspective, it's woefully inept, the diversity that we can see from a Latino perspective. So I wouldn't get too excited. I would just say that the trend seems to say that this could bode well, but there's a lot of work left to do.
We're talking with Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic, and we are looking at some of the best 2018 movies, maybe some of the worst, too. Let's move on, Reggie, to nominees for the Golden Globes in musical or comedy category. What are some of the ones that really stood out for you?
So what's funny here is the same thing that I wanted to say. Look at this. Crazy Rich Asians, you have a period piece in The Favorite, you have a film that is controversial in many ways in Green Book. Then you have Mary Poppins Returns. And if I don't get another minute to talk to you guys about anything, all I want to do is just talk about Mary Poppins Returns. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, and then you have Vice, which is a totally different kind of movie. All five of these movies are very different, and all of them were really good, too.
Well, let's listen to a clip from Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Close your mouth, please, Michael. We are still not a codfish. Jane Banks. Still rather inclined to giggle, I see.
Good heavens. It really is you. You seem hardly to have aged at all.
Really? How incredibly rude. One never discusses a woman's age, Michael. Would have hoped I taught you better.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
You came back. I thought we'd never see you again.
It is wonderful to see you.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
So, Reggie, what did you love so much about Mary Poppins Returns?
There's a lot to like about this movie. I think the first thing is that when you look at the original Mary Poppins, it has that old nostalgic feel to it, a vaudeville feel to it. It's a musical. It's a kind of whimsical. I found myself, Darrell, I've been on here with Judah Fork a number of times, so I don't think she heard me use these words like delightful, supercalifragilistic. I mean, this is one of those films. If you liked Mary Poppins, you're going to love Mary Poppins Returns. It is played so what, the cast is fantastic. The music is poignant. I mean, it actually, there's a message in everything in it. And if you like Dick Van Dyke, the movie in and of itself, just to go see him do the dance scene that he did, he actually did that scene too, and it's phenomenal. It is a great, great story here. And if you know about Mary Poppins, the story is that she comes back because she has to help the Banks family. And she has to remind the son how to believe in himself, about the magic in life. And she does that through his children. And it's fun. I mean, the animation looks good. The songs are phenomenal. Lin-Manuel Miranda is great. This is a great film all the way through.
I have just a quick question about Mary Poppins, and that is, when you heard this was going to be made, and it was called Mary Poppins Returns, did you have a concern or worry that, oh, here we go, we're going to dig back into a classic, and we're going to somehow mess it up? Was that a concern of yours when you first heard this movie was coming out?
I did not like the fact that they were making a sequel to Mary Poppins. I was like, no, don't do it. Please don't do it. And, you know, they brought the animators, the old animators, back. They went back to the song, not the same people, but the song format. And I think that what they really wanted to do is remain true to Mary Poppins, and they absolutely did that. You know, to your question, Darrell, a lot of times they remake or come back with another episode of a movie, and it's really not that good.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. We're talking with Reggie Ponder, a.k.a. Reggie the Real Critic, and he's been sharing with us some of his favorite movies from this past year.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What are some of your favorite movies you saw in 2018? What are you kicking yourself that you didn't get to see when it was in theaters? And was there a movie or an acting performance that you think deserves to win an Oscar or a Golden Globe? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll pick up this conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. We're talking about our favorite movies of 2018 with Reggie Ponder, a.k.a. Reggie the Real Critic.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What was the best movie you saw in theaters this year? What do you think lived up to the hype, or what do you think didn't? Do you have any Golden Globe or Oscar predictions? And what are you looking forward to seeing that's in theaters now, maybe during the holiday season? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And Reggie, I have to say The Favorite is one that you talked about. I just saw it yesterday. Here's a clip.
I'm ready for the Russian ambassador.
Who did your makeup?
We went for something dramatic. Do you like it?
You look like a badger.
Oh.
Are you going to cry?
Really?
No.
I will manage it. Go back to your rooms.
Thank you.
Did you just look at me? Did you? Look at me! Look at me! How dare you! Close your eyes!
So, Reggie, I saw that yesterday. We went to see it with a lot of other people. It was a pretty full theater. We had been anxiously waiting for it to come to Madison, and I have to say, I was disappointed.
You were disappointed.
I was.
So I actually liked this. Not from an Oscar or a Golden Globe perspective that it was the best movie of the year. It was actually entertaining to me to watch these two women and their conniving ways in which to get the affections and the influence of the queen. Tell me what was it about this one that didn't feel right for you?
Well, I think it's one of those things where when you really kind of build it up in your mind, I thought that, first of all, it's a true story and they never actually say that. We went home and looked up the history and it's very accurate. And I think actually that would have added to it, knowing that this wasn't just a story being told, but it was history being told. And I thought the three actresses were so powerful and it didn't really make as good a use of them as it could.
Oh, okay. Well, see, and that's what I love about the movies, too, is that it really is taste. So when you go to these things and you say, what's the best movie of the year, I don't subscribe to that in terms of saying it's the best movie. It's the movie I like the best, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Reggie, you know, there's been plenty of superhero franchise movies released this year and over the past few years. In a recent review of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, you said that this movie addresses, quote, superhero fatigue. How does it do that?
So there are a lot of folks who are saying, I am just tired of the same old superhero movie. I think Black Panther helped to pull us out of that because it was so different
right.
from the messages and the layers that it had. But then you just come right back to Avengers, Infinity Wars. Now you got Aquaman. I mean, you just come back to the same kind of stuff. And really, the stories are the same. Is that, okay, somebody's coming to destroy the universe. Superhero comes to save the universe. Superhero almost dies, but superhero revives and then saves the universe. So some folks are like, I'm just tired of seeing all of that. And what Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse does is that it takes it to a whole different realm and eschews the intended pun. But you have all these different Spider-Men fighting Kingpin, Doc Ock, and crew, and it's the animation in this is fantastic. You get that Spidey humor that you're looking for. So it gives you a different movie and excites you again about superheroes, but it says, hey, this is a different type of fare for you.
We've got a cut from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Let's play that.
Spider-Man. I mean, this guy swings in once a day, zip-zap-zop in his little mask and answers to no one, right?
Yeah, Dad, yeah.
I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know, Dad.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I wanna hear it.
You wanna hear me say
I love you, Dad.
You're driving me off out of school?
I love you, Dad.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
That is from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. You know, Reggie, what's interesting about this is, you know, not only yourself, but most of the critics absolutely love this, which is tough to do because how many incarnations of Spider-Man have we had over the last 15 years?
And that's why I say, Darrell, that this really cuts through. It's so different. And a friend of mine went to see it, and they didn't love it as much as I did, and might not like it as much as the critics liked it. But I think, again, if you try to dissect something like this, you'll say to yourself, well, it doesn't look or feel like any of the other movies that I've been seeing, and I think that the foundation of that is great. And then they have all the other stuff that you want to have in terms of humor and the fighting and the the humor, the fighting, and the animation, it just all looks good. This is a good one, and it's very enjoyable. This is what I would say, Darrell, is that, hey, let me sneak and go see this, and I'm an adult kind of movie.
We're talking with Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic. We're talking about 2018 movies, and let's go to the phones now, and Randy in Ripon is up. Hi, Randy.
Hi. I just want to say I agree with it. There's too many superhero movies. I'm really sick of that. But, of course, I tend to be more of a drama person. But I went to see Welcome to Marwen, and I was thoroughly pleased with it. Maybe it's probably because my dad was a World War II vet, and there was kind of that connection to it. But I thought it was just a great performance by Steve Carell. So, thank you.
Thanks for that, Randy. And, Reggie, what did you think of Welcome to Marwen?
So, again, this one is a different type of movie. Someone told me once is that I guess that there are only 8 stories in a universe. And so the real key is how do you tell that story to make it different and appealing to people? And I think Welcome to Marwen did that in a very interesting way. And it's one of those, it does tug at the heartstrings. So a good job.
So for those of us that haven't seen it, what's the plot in, 20 words?
What's the plot in 20 words? he's an outsider. He's basically an outsider. And in order to cope, he creates a whole different world. And you see that world in these figures that he creates. And these figures and people really come to life in that world.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Richie in Minnetonka, Minnesota. Richie, welcome to Central Time. Hello.
Hello. Good to be here.
So what did you like this year, Richie?
2018, for me, is the year of Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary on Mr. Rogers.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did you like about it, Richie?
What I liked about it was in a society where everything's getting pushed at us and there's so much anxiety amongst kids and we're getting pulled in so many directions that this was a man, it sort of exposed a man that helped us learn how to connect better as people in a positive way. You know, so many documentaries dig up the dark underbelly, the Michael Moore stuff. I just left this movie. Now,
Reggie, sorry about that. We lost you. Richie, I'm sorry. Reggie, to Richie's point about the documentary, has there ever been a nicer dude than Mr. Rogers? I can't think of anybody nicer than Fred Rogers, ever.
So what's so interesting, there's been a number of pieces out there about Mr. Rogers, and I grew up on Mr. Rogers, so I actually want to sing the song, Who Are the People in Your Neighborhood? But I won't do that because I want to spare your readers. But when you talk about nice, He was also a visionary and an activist.
Mm-hmm.
So what you learn here is that this is the guy who did things like, okay, they won't allow this person on TV, I'll bring him on TV. Okay, something happened here, then I'll make a show about that to teach kids about tolerance and diversity and all of that type of stuff. So when you talk about a nicer man, that might be the least of his qualities. This guy was a righteous guy as well. So I love Mr. Rogers.
And Reggie, as we wrap up, you know, we talked about 2018 being a real year of change in how Hollywood is making movies. Do you see that continuing into 2019?
I do, for the simple reason that I think that the women are being bolder and going out there to show the stories that they want to tell. I always have had a problem when there are men writers writing women's stories. I don't mean that we can't, but I want to see more women writing those stories and directing those stories. And what we're seeing in terms of women directing $100 million budgets has changed, not dramatically, but the trend is upwards. So really excited about that and in seeing that. What I hope to see, though, and I talked to a little earlier, is I'd like to see more Latino films. The directors are doing well, as you probably can see from the Oscars.
And we'll have to leave it there. Reggie Ponder, Reggie the Real Critic, was with us to talk about 2018 movies, the hits and the misses. You can follow him at Reggie the Real Critic on Twitter.